Imagine for a moment that the laws of America are expressed on a map, and it's a topographic map showing which ground is easy to walk or hard to walk or impossible. The Supreme Court altered that map during its term that ended Monday. For example, it is much harder for people to sue big business. At the same time, it is easier to claim First Amendment rights. Our legal cartographer is NPR's Nina Totenberg.
First, let's look at the statistics. The court split 5-4 in 1 out of 5 cases, with the conservative bloc of justices prevailing in the vast majority of these, and the court's 4 liberals in the minority. As Justice Stephen Breyer put it this week at a conference,
"We were 5-4 about 18%, 20% of the time. I would say it's more the same usual suspects, so that suggests some increased polarization."
So what were they polarized about? Here are just a few of the 5-4 cases in which the court curbed lawsuits against big business. In the celebrated Walmart case, the court made it much more difficult to bring class action employment suits on behalf of women and minorities who claim they've been the victims of discrimination in pay or promotions. In a less noticed ruling that has the potential to all but obliterate the right to sue, the court upheld fine print clauses in retail contracts that bind consumers to arbitration, even when state law forbids such clauses. Lawyers who represent large companies said the decision could well spur large corporations into requiring new hires to sign contracts promising not to sue as a condition of employment. Supreme Court advocate Tom Goldstein.
It's almost malpractice for a lawyer for a company now not to put an arbitration clause in any kind of document, whether it's a consumer contract or an employment agreement. All those agreements will be enforced, and the company then no longer faces the prospect, if they write the agreement correctly, that they'll be sued by a whole bunch of people together and face a lot of liability.
In another win for big business, the court's 5 conservatives ruled that generic drug makers, who account for 75% of the nation's prescriptions, cannot be sued for failing to warn consumers of dangerous side effects as long as their labels track brand name counterparts. Looking at the term overall, observers without exception see a conservative arc that is hostile to litigation, especially litigation that seeks to regulate business practices by holding companies accountable in court for their actions. The other major theme that has emerged in this court is a very pure approach to the First Amendment. As Stanford Law School Dean Larry Kramer observes, every legal case presents a clash of values.
There are things we care about more and things we care about less. And this is true for judges as well. So they have a hierarchy of commitments. And for anybody, for judges no less than anybody else, when a higher commitment comes in conflict with the lower one, the higher one wins.
For this court, the higher value is almost always the First Amendment guarantee of free speech. UCLA law professor Eugene Volokh.
Generally speaking, almost always the free speech claims prevail.
Just look at the cases this term. Whether it was the family of a dead soldier objecting to protesters at his funeral, or legislators enacting a ban on the sale of violent video games to children, or a state providing matching funds to publicly financed candidates to prevent them from being outspent by privately financed opponents, the value that prevailed was always unfettered speech. Some of these decisions were by large majorities, like the 8-1 decision upholding the rights of protesters to demonstrate at a military funeral. Others were 5-4, like the decision striking down matching funds. And there was a sleeper case in which the 5 conservatives, plus Justice Sotomayor, appeared to move quite significantly towards limiting government regulation of commercial speech. The decision in a case called Sorrell threw out a state ban on selling doctors' prescription records to drug marketers. Doug Kendall of the Constitutional Accountability Center.
Court has always held that the First Amendment affords some protection for commercial speech, and it's also insisted that governments have the ability to regulate commercial speech of corporations and to protect the rights of consumers and health and safety of the American people. Sorrell throws all that into question.
Supreme Court advocate Tom Goldstein, who won the Sorrell case for the pharmaceutical industry, agrees.
The Sorrell case is the closest the Supreme Court has ever come to giving commercial speech, marketing by businesses, complete First Amendment protection, and saying that targeting businesses is a form of viewpoint discrimination that is subject to quite stringent First Amendment scrutiny. And that, I think, is a change in the law.
For all the importance of these decisions, they pale compared to what is expected next term: the health care overhaul, affirmative action, immigration, and possibly gay marriage. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.